Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And today is Friday, the 14th of June, 2024. Excuse me. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 25, and we're starting off on that second paragraph. The great fact is just this, and ending with, we could never do by ourselves. One second here. All right, our readers. So we have Joni C. for the steps. We have Tenzin P. for the traditions. Starting off with the text is Loretta H. Page 164 is Katie G. Our backup readers, Carmela G. Newcomer greeter, Susan S.H. Second hour host is Jeannie B. And announcement is Kathy S. I'm having a hard time today. Excuse me. All right. The reference numbers for yesterday, Thursday, June 13th, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,485, 21485. The 10 a.m. meeting is 21,486, 21486. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and a practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured, from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thanks, Joni. Next up with the traditions is Tenzin P.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are our beautiful 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone a blessed day.
Thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read, and we are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 on mute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and there is a solution. Page 25. The second paragraph, and that starts with the great fact is just this, and ends with we could never do by ourselves. And Loretta H. is going to start us off today.
Good morning, Russ, and good morning all, along with my precious God. You are saving my life, Loretta H. Today I'm in Asheville, North Carolina. The great fact is just this, and nothing less, that we have had a deep and effective spiritual experiences, which has revolutionized our whole attitude towards life, towards our fellow, and towards God's universe. The central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do for ourselves. Miracle privilege to read this beautiful paragraph and to be in this program that has saved my life along with all of you. I looked up the word truth, and it's gospel and reality. And I looked up the word success, or effective, successful, producing a desired or intended result. And then I looked up the word revolutionized, transform, restructive, and reorganized. Our book tells us that this is our truth. This is what we can get with God's positioning system, what we can get with this study of this book, and the spiritual experiences on page 567. And if you haven't read it, please read it. That's in the fourth edition, because it's the greatest sighting of what happened to me. It talks about the I came in as an agnostic. Today, in fact, yesterday I celebrated 54 years of marriage, and I never wanted to be married. And I have been in this program for 23 years. So almost half of my marriage has been in this program, and I am so grateful. I think that's why it survived. And as a compulsive overeater, and I also never wanted to be that, I am so grateful because I have learned to live in my reality, which is a fact. I have had a successful transformation to be a good citizen of the world, to understand that life is not fair, but I can get through anything. It says it will solve all your problems, my food problem, all my problems. And my food problem was the solution. And as I've shared, I go the other spectrum. I'm anorexic. And that is, I've never done drugs, but for me, it was as high as doing what they say cocaine does. So this transformation for me is a miracle. This privilege that I get to lead this life today because I work this program. And I want to say to all the newcomers, please keep coming back, because not only are you giving yourself a gift, but you are saving my life. I call it Greenpeace, because whenever I hear or talk to a newcomer, I share my experience, strength, and hope. But as my favorite paragraph in the book is on, it's clinging to the thought that in God's hands, my greatest asset is my darkest past. And so that is in the family afterwards. Thank you. And so please, please study this book, because it will save your life. Thanks, Russ. Thanks, everybody. God bless you.
Thanks, Loretta. Appreciate it. Now we're going to open up the line for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. And if you share it on Wednesday or Thursday, please step back and allow others get a chance to share. All right, who would like to share?
Lulu L.
Jen A.
All right. 1 second. Lulu.
P-B.
Lulu.
It might not be.
Hold on. Kelly. There was Jen, Harlan. Harlan.
Jen A.
I got you, Jen. B-B.
Thanks.
Elena.
Carmela G.
Carmela. Melissa.
Nancy C.
Nancy.
Melissa S.
Wanda R.
Melissa S. Wanda. Man, we got a list today. All right, so I think that's pretty good for the first round. All right, let me make sure I got everybody. I got Lulu L, Kelly S, Jen A, Harlan G, Pete B, Lena C, Carmela G, Melissa C, Nancy C, I believe Melissa S, and Wanda R. All right, so whoever's not them, please mute, and let's get it rolling. Lulu, you're up.
Okay, thank you, Russ. I do not know how you get all those names down, but I appreciate you. This is Lulu L. in Florida. I am gratefully recovered for today. I just couldn't wait for us to get to this paragraph, to this line. The great fact is just this and nothing less. Because that is the great fact, the amazing fact, the spectacular fact. Is this and nothing less, that I have had a deep and effective spiritual experience. I came into OA and the beverage program as well thinking, I don't need this God thing. I already have a relationship with God. But as we all know, as I know, The relationship thickens and deepens and grows ever more dense and intense. And that's what has happened. The longer I stay, the longer I work with the sponsor, the longer I am in this book, my spiritual experience is just expanding and exploding. And it has indeed revolutionized my whole attitude, particularly toward food. Food is just to nourish my body. It's not my best friend. It's not my worst enemy. It's an inanimate thing that helps nourish my body. But even bigger than that is toward the people I live with, toward the people I drive on the highways with, toward the people that I work with. I have been revolutionized, and I cannot wait to see how much more I'll be revolutionized the deeper I go. And yes, the central fact of my life today is the absolute faith, the trust that my Creator has entered into my heart and into my life. I am living, I have this big sticker on the front of my front door that says, "Welcome to heaven on earth," because that's exactly how I feel. I feel like I'm living most days as if I'm living on heaven on earth, heaven in earth, however I just said that. And he not only commenced, but continues. He, she, it. I don't have a gender God. I have a genderless God. He, she, it is commencing, beginning, and continuing to accomplish everything for me that I could never do by myself. Seriously, I could not put down the food. I could not put down the food by myself. I could not be kind to my partner by myself. I could not be gentle and compassionate toward anybody because I was so wrapped up in self. And so to be able to have that lifted from me as I pray every single day before I even get out of the bed, I pray, God, you take it. You take all the defects of me and pour in you. Work in through me and as me your kindness and your compassion.
Time.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me share. And thank you, Russ. This is
Lulu
in Florida.
Thanks, Lulu. Next up is Kelly Asphalt by Jen A.
Hey, Russ. Good morning. Thanks for your service. Hey, guys, it's Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Kelly with an EY if you're looking for me. So what the heck is this paragraph even about? I mean, I came in here to lose weight and stop eating. I don't know about you guys. What's all this God stuff, right? I'm listening to these people. You know, we're going to hear a lot of great shares, and people are like, sound like they're just, like, high on God. I'm like, what? You know, and that's the problem. For decades, I came in here to lose weight and put the food down and just get abstinent, you know, and didn't hear the message, whether it was told or not, that this, the food was the solution to the problem, my living problem, right? So here's what happened. I put down the food. I start working the steps. I start living the steps. I start showing up differently, right? I continue to stay abstinent. I lose and maintain 125-pound weight loss now for almost 7-8 years. I'm not binging and purging, right? I'm making amends. I'm remembering to pause. What? I'm having more love and tolerance. My defects crop up. I make amends to people. My relationships are changing. I'm still staying abstinent. What? I'm getting friends, real friends. I'm being honest. I've never been honest, rigorously honest in my whole life. I'm staying abstinent. How is all this happening? I'm starting to see this. I can't be doing this. I've been here for 40 years. How is this happening, this God thing? I wanted this story of like, I just feel high on God. I want all this great stuff. And then I start to see, I am changing. I am staying abstinent. My relationships are improving. I am living with integrity and spiritual principles. I mean, none of this I could have done on my own. I'm 61. I've tried everything. In the rooms, I have tried everything. And then I look back and I'm like, as it talks about the spiritual awakening, I wanted an experience, right? But all of a sudden I realized the central fact is I'm certain my Creator has entered my heart. And these things are miraculous. These are things I could never do by myself. You guys, I don't know how to do life. I don't have love and tolerance. It doesn't come natural for me. I am selfish and self-centered to my core. I look at my life today, I'm like, who the hell is this person, right? Now I'm like, why on God? I'm one of those people. But I just want to tell you, if you're listening to this, you're like, what? I'm telling you, it is happening. My sponsees are always like, oh, what if this doesn't happen for me? And I tell them, look at what's happening. We have some idea that we're going to come in all of a sudden be rocketed. Just be rocketed right away. We're going to put the food down. We're going to be rocketed. It takes work. It takes a lifetime of work. This is where the work starts, you know? And I got to take the action. I got to keep the food down. I got to keep showing up. And, you know, it's like first I got up to be with God because I had to. Now I want to. I make time. I'm not a morning person. Again, who is this, right? This is the miracle. God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. But we got to put the food down, and we got to keep on trudging with all of you guys. And thank you for giving me the hope. With that, I pass.
Perfect time. Thank you, Kel. Next up, Jen A, followed by Harlan G.
Hey, Russ. Thanks so much for chairing the meeting this morning. My name is Jen A. I live here in Colorado, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. Thank you, God, for saving a girl like me. Thank you, Kelly. I get excited when I hear you talk, too. It's like, yeah. You know, like, is it amazing that he did this to me? Is this what happens as a result of putting food down? It is kind of crazy, and the more and more I think about it, I'm just, you know, I'm grateful being out with my family, eating out, not being triggered by foods, not caring whether I'm missing out on the chocolate shake at In-N-Out Burger or, you know, things like that. Like, that doesn't even faze me today. What fazes me is I can have relationships with my kiddos, you know, and, you know, that I can be in a romantic relationship with my boyfriend and actually like him, and he actually likes me, and we get along. And we're living happily together and raising kids happily together. Never thought that would happen either. Or that I can be kind and gentle to an aging parent who I need to extend more grace to and think to myself, wow, I never had any patience, and my dad never had patience for me, and now I'm having patience for him. You know, so what is this? There's a lot of promises on this page about the solution, and that when I work the 12 steps honestly and openly and willingly, I'm going to have what's called a spiritual awakening. And, you know, I always say I'm awakened all the time. You know, it didn't just happen the first time I went through the steps or the second time or the third time. Year after year, I go through the steps. And when I do a 10-step, 1 through 7, I'm constantly being awakened by the Spirit. And that's what this is. It's being awakened. God's giving me an awareness about who I am, and how I need to be. My favorite part of this paragraph is that the Creator has entered into our hearts and lives in a way which is indeed miraculous. When I came to Overeaters Anonymous, my heart was encased in cement, and it was wrapped in barbed wire. And as a result, year after year of working these steps and living the steps out, you know, God has just continued to, you know, break back that barbed wire, and he continues to chip away at the cement. And that's how I kind of see the spiritual awakening, is he's chipping away all these old ideas and beliefs and things in my heart and in my head, and he's giving me a new, fresh view of who I am and who he's created me to be, you know. And that spiritual awakening is something I can't do right by myself, but with the help of a higher power, something greater than me and bigger than me, anything is possible. And just the fact that, like, I got on the scale today, you know, for my weigh-in, and 7 years later, I'm the same freaking weight. How is that possible? You know, it doesn't even matter, but it's with God. You know, the weight's the same. The relationships are 10,000 times better, which is even better than the scale. So all glory be to thee, O Lord. This dimension of divinity and spirituality is just so amazing. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Jen. Appreciate you. All right, next up is Harlan G, followed by Pete B.
Thank you very much, Russ. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, but not cured. I'm from Scottsdale, Arizona, but I'm currently in Arlington Heights, Illinois, across from Poop Park. On page 45 of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is the thesis line of the book, and it simply says, Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. I came into this program, and for the first few years of this program, I was like a monster. Don't eat, go to meetings. Don't eat, go to meetings. Don't eat, go to meetings. And that's how I lived my life. What I found out is that this paragraph, along with many other paragraphs, teach me that abstinence is not the most important thing in my life without exception. Abstinence is extremely important. It's like English 101. I attended Roosevelt University in downtown Chicago, where I got my degree. And in order to get a degree from there, you have to complete English 101 and English 102. They are what's called prerequisites. Cannot get any degree without doing those subjects. Is that the main object of college, is English 101 and English 102? No, no. There is so much beyond that. The great fact is just this and nothing less, that we have had deep and effective spiritual experiences. For me, no, spiritual awakenings. And the central fact of our lives today is the absolute certainty, not the suspicion, not the thought, not the hope, but the certainty that our Creator has entered into our hearts and lives, I need a living God, in a way which is indeed miraculous. A funny thing happened to me on the way to losing 500 pounds. Funny thing. I have a girlfriend, and we have a great relationship. I'm very happy. I have a financial life that works that didn't work before. My bills are paid. My credit is 815. I'm on time for things. I answer phone calls. I don't put things off till the last second. I exercise. My life works. What does that have to do with abstinence? Nothing/everything, but God. And God alone and the power of God has catapulted me, not just into a fourth dimension. He has catapulted me into areas of life that on the surface have nothing to do with my consumption or lack thereof of food. But I'm in areas of my life that only God knew the roadmap to get me to. I like myself. I loathed myself when I came in here and wanted to die.
Time.
I want to live, and I embrace life today. I'm going to remember today that God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. Thanks, Russ, for your service, and thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thanks, R. Next up is Pete B., my neighbor here.
Thank you, Russ. Good to hear you. Thanks for taking the meeting. Appreciate your service. It's great to hear the English language spoken the way it's supposed to be spoken. Just kidding. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy, and I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm not there now, but wow. Like, what inspiration. Wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands, families. I'm getting... fired up. I'm interested in all those things, you know, all those things. Have a lot of them in my life too, and I'm super, super grateful for it, you know. And you know, man, I love Overeaters Anonymous. I do. I love being in a healthy body. I love being neutral with regard to most things in my life, and absolutely with regard to food. And I love this meeting. How, you know, we chop it up. You know, we break down words and you know, we discuss definitions and the origins of words, and it's so super powerful, you know. And what I've learned by coming to this meeting, by aligning my will with God's, by regularly seeking guidance and direction from the God of my understanding, by connecting with my fellows, and you know, seeking outside direction, I've learned. I have what this book describes our condition to be. And I have it the way it describes the compulsive readers. I'm of a hopeless variety, right? And I know that, I know, I lost what the book says I lost, and I also found what the book says I will find. And I do what this book instructs me to do, and I've had what the book says I'm going to have. An effective spiritual experience. You know, the book uses words like transformed. Right? It talks about our condition in the past tense, like it doesn't exist for us. And it actually says the problem will be removed. It doesn't exist. We don't have to be cocky, and we don't have to be afraid. You know, for years in Overeaters Anonymous, I thought the battle was going to be about the, you know, avert your eyes. Don't go past Dunkin' Donuts. Don't talk about this. Oh, my God, this may happen. Don't get disconnected from your friends. That's not what this delivers. It's not what it provides. It says that God will do for us what we can never do for ourselves. And what I've learned is that God will never do for me what I can do for myself. And by working, by using these tools and working this step, I've been delivered to the state that I believe the Creator would have me be. I have use of my faculties. I'm able to provide myself with accurate self-assessment. I'm able to, when I'm troubled, I'm able to go to God and ask God for guidance and direction. Talks about freedom, man. Freedom. Walk a free man today. Some people take that as cocky. Some people take that as, you know, I'm averse to what we do here. I'm not. But I'm also not averse to saying, like, this thing works. It does what it says it's going to do. And if you haven't experienced that yet, hang in there, man. You're in for a hell of a ride. So thanks again. I'll shut up.
Thanks, Pete. So before Elena comes up and shares, I just want to let you know where we're at if you got on the meeting a little bit later. Warren, there's a solution, and that's page 25, the second paragraph. The great fact is just this, and just that paragraph, that one paragraph. All right, Elena, you're up.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. Wow. Elena C. from South Carolina recovered today. What I hear so much passion from your voices. And, you know, this program, it is passion. It really is passion. God is passion, you know. This book is passion. And that's the great fact, that when we have God, when I have God in me, I have passion. I have passion for myself, for my self-care. I have passion for other people, you know, treating them nicely. I have passion for life. And, I mean, it's just miraculous. And the spiritual experience is a revolution. And a revolution is, it's something that is changing. But in the middle of, if we think of all the revolution that this world had, they were difficult, they were challenging, you know, like there was fighting, there's pain and suffering. But then it all ended with a beautiful transformation that, you know, it needed to have for evolution. So this program and working it and getting God in my body is evolution of myself. Because, and then the big word attitude, my attitude was, you know, you need to do what I want you to do, otherwise I'm not going to be your friend. You don't treat me nicely, I'm going to do the same. I don't care, you know, what other people's feelings are. My life sucked. That was my attitude. And then that God, I have no idea what the hell that is. And so that has transformed with the God in my body and in my heart. And, you know, God is not necessarily in my head. Because somebody asked me, how do you know when you have, just like pay attention from your neck down. And see what's going out there in your heart, but in the chest area. And there's usually this spaciousness, the calm, you know, kind of even like I see colors. I see like a yellow. And that is kind of taking and spreading into my body. And eventually will get in my head because, and that's a psychic change. That energy beautiful that stirs from my heart goes to my head, you know, it's transforming my thoughts and works on my brain because my brain was sick, man. You know, and it, like, and then I have human experiences at times when, you know, I make mistakes. And then, you know, and that's okay because I'm human. I will always be human. And I'm very happy to be here with that outcast. Thank you.
Thanks, Elena. Next up is Carmela G, followed by Melissa C.
Thank you, Russ. Carmela G, gratefully recovered for today from New York. The sentence that I really would like to focus on is the one, the very last sentence. He has commenced to accomplish those things for us which we could never do by ourselves. In disease, when I entered, prior to entering into this program, I thought I could do anything. I could do everything and anything, and I don't need these groupie people or anything. I thought I had a great relationship with my higher power. But today, through working these steps, he has given me a miracle that I didn't get the latter part of my sixth decade of life. So for six decades, I walked this earth full of commanding people, acting like God. And it took this program to make me realize that the miraculous thing is he allowed me to work this program like I never worked anything in my life for myself before. And every day I ask him, please show me, let me hear you. Guide me, because without his guidance, I can do nothing. And that is the real fact. And he does it for me every day. And the reality is, he has us all if we invite him in and allow him to work in our lives. And with that, I pass and I thank you.
Thanks, Carmela. Next up is Melissa C, followed by Nancy C.
Hey, thanks so much. This is Melissa C. I'm recovered from both the theater in New York, and oh my gosh, I'm just this is my favorite paragraph of the whole book. This is exactly what happened to me. This is what I, you know, when I get asked, and I'm really fortunate in that I've had a huge physical transformation. So I do get asked from people who knew me, you know, and have witnessed my return to health, actually, to a health I never had. I get asked, like, what happened to you? Or, you know, and I say, I don't shy away from the subject of God. You know, I say it exactly, this is a great fact, and nothing less, that I have had an experience with the miraculous where I have, you know, I have a relationship with my creator and I'm certain of it, which also tells me that I will never embrace agnosticism because agnosticism is never being quite certain that there is a creator, you know, never being quite certain. And I am certain. I am absolutely certain that this is the great fact of my life, that there is a process. There are 12 steps for someone like me to allow the entry of God into my life. And my step one understanding was that that's what was going to be required for someone like me, that nothing short of a miracle was going to help me. And I knew that because I tried everything else over and over and over again. And so the evidence of my revolution, like what happened to me, yes, it's a huge physical transformation. And the crazy thing is,
This process changed me entirely, not just the physical form of me, but the internal me. I don't want the things that I used to want. I don't like the things I used to like. I like different things today. You know, when I first came to OA, my sponsor at the time had said to me that I needed a new way of life. I needed a new way of living. And I needed to not try to fit my recovery around a life that wasn't working. I needed transformation. And it started with simple, crazy actions that weren't in the book, but I'll tell you, they were powerful. It was get up. Get out of bed. You cannot sleep till 10. You know, make your bed. How about you make your bed? How about, you know, it was certain things, little actions, and of course, following the steps, and of course, getting abstinent. And the crazy thing is, my heart has changed today. The things that I used to have to do, I love to do. I love my abstinent food, and I love the service that I get to do. I love my prayer. I love my meditation. I love every aspect of this program. I am a different woman today. I'm so grateful. I was like, please let me get my name in here. This is the great fact of my life. Thank you, God, for saving me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Nancy C., followed by Melissa S.
Hey, Russ, thanks for hearing me. Good morning, everyone. Nancy C., gratefully recovered in Ann Arbor, Michigan this morning, and grateful to be able to share on this this paragraph, because, oh my God, this is the paragraph of paragraphs, just like everyone's saying. The great fact is just this: I am completely changed. God has completely changed and revolutionized me from where I was before I came into these rooms. And it's miraculous, because the person I was, oh my God, I was thinking this morning as we were talking about or looking at this paragraph, I used to wake up and just be like, ugh, it's another day. Ugh, oh my God, I have to see this person and I have to do that. And today, I literally bounce out of bed. I wake up and the first thing is, thank you, God, that I'm on this side of the grass, right? I am grateful just to be alive and being in your grace, your presence, and amazed at what might be in front of me today. What type of transformation is that? That is a revolutionary change. And what does it have to do with food? My God, I just wanted to lose weight, and I had no idea. The food had nothing to do with trying to find God, but I was blocking it by just shoving down any type of feeling I had. And God was trying to get out. He was trying to be there, to be the central fact of my life. You know, the next paragraph says that we can go left or right. There is no middle. And I always wanted the escape route. When I was eating, there was always plan C. I needed to know I had a way out. I don't want a way out of this life today. I am so grateful that people took my hand, God shepherded me through these 12 steps, and every day that I wake up and I can say, thank you, God, how can I be of service? Be of service to people? Who the hell am I? I didn't want to be this. Everyone serves me, for Christ's sake. Not anymore. It doesn't work that way. And I am lovingly giving service to people wherever I can and lovingly learning from everyone who God puts in front of me. Yeah, we talk a lot about God, but man, that's what it is. It is God. And the central fact of my life today is the absolute certainty that he has entered and changed my life in a miraculous way, just like all my friends in this program. And it's a pleasure to watch how people change and how people become servants of God. And with that, I pass.
All right, Nancy, thank you. Next up is Melissa S., followed by Wanda R. And we should be able to take another group.
Good morning, everybody. This is Melissa S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Nashville, Tennessee. What comes to my mind when I hear this is this idea that I am breathing new air. I am in a whole new world that I didn't think was possible. And when I talk to people who are struggling to do this and can't get it, I think about the idea that there's like a step even before step one that is happening in the supernatural realm. A fellow talks about being rescued by God, and I kind of compare it to a supernatural light switch that was off. I had no willingness to change, no power to change, and then it gets flipped on before I even do step one. That is the willingness to even try, the willingness to even go there. And it's like a bottom, but it isn't a bottom because some are high, some are low. Nothing was bad enough to get me to stop until that light switch was turned on to give me the willingness. That is a miracle right there. And then I'm reminded of this analogy because I learned that way about the invisible boat where a man is drowning in the ocean, and two people tell him, if you start rowing, you know, there'll be a boat that rescues you. And the man is like, what? That's crazy. That will never work. And they're like, just listen to us, just row. And this, you know, you'll be fine. And he's trying to get to Sobriety Island, actually. And so he gets desperate enough, he's going to die. And so he just starts moving his arms in the motion of rowing an invisible row. And as he rows, a boat begins to appear in front of his eyes. And he is rescued by rowing and just trusting the process. And the thing is, like, we have to keep rowing. We have to keep taking action. And when we stop rowing, the boat slowly begins to disappear and we can be drowning again. And so I don't want to take for granted the miracle of my step zero, that God turned my light switch off to on and has given me an opportunity to row and get the structure to support me. And guess what? If I'm not drowning, I can see the beautiful scenery. I can see the other people who are drowning. I can have a life that's meaningful that I don't even know I could even have ever have had because I was so consumed with drowning that I couldn't see outside myself. And so it is a miracle, just as if an invisible boat were to appear. It's like you don't think it's possible, but you just have to follow instructions. And I'm just so thankful that I have this awareness and that God has rescued me from my own self. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Melissa. Next up is Wanda R, and I think we'll be able to take maybe one share.
Janice PM?
Hold on, Wanda. We'll get you right after.
Oh, okay.
Wanda's up.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I hope everybody has a beautiful day. Yeah, you know, this is a great paragraph. And, you know, purpose. My purpose is, is to help other people, which I have done for 45 years in program. And I just know that I'm retired now, and I have to, my purpose is to, do as much as I can and have fun, you know. So I swim every day and be abstinent. That's incredibly important. And then also enjoy when I can. Last night I was desperate. And I prayed to God. I just prayed to God. And he's like, sent me an answers, you know. And what I want to just really say and get across, one of my first sponsors, Mary M., from 1974, you know, she'd say, God is an 11th hour God. And it felt like the rug was pulled out because I live in a retirement home, and it changed. The staff completely changed, and I couldn't relate to anybody, and I didn't feel I had anything important to do, and now I have crafts to do that I have on my own. I swim, I play cards, and my only fun, this is what my point is, the fun that I used to have used to be bulimia. That was my fun, my job for 14 years. Get as much in and get it out. And I'm telling you, you know, I can't go back to that. And I want to be happy. And I know that I have to wait for God to open up doors, to open up windows, and show me what my next steps are. Yesterday at 12 o'clock at night, I was beside myself with worry and rid, restless, irritable, and discontent. And this morning I got a text, and I got an answer. And I know that God gave me an 11th hour answer, and I'm so grateful. And I know I don't have to overeat, and I'm glad I'm here, and I hope everybody enjoys their day. Thank you.
All right, Wanda, thank you. So Janice PM said she wanted to share. We caught her at the tail end of this group. So you're going to be our last share, John, I think.
Okay, and I'm on now, right, Russ?
Yep.
All right, yeah. I'll be in. Yeah, thank you so much. How can I follow everybody here this morning? Well, you know, I do have something to share because my name is Janice PM, and I'm a grateful, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. And I got it through action. I didn't get it through, yeah, I got it through willingness and all that, but that's a little overrated. Action. And let me tell you, I was always looking for the answer to all my problems. When I first got married in 1964, I said to myself, I get married. And then I got pregnant after 4 months. I said, this is not the life that I wanted. I want to go in and be a professional. You know, I just got out of college. And I said, this is not going to last and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, that was how many years ago? You know, and today I'm a widow after almost 60 years. And, you know, my life, I can honestly say that I am a miracle. It's not magic. I'm a miracle. And that means there had to be, for me, what I believe is a divine intervention. That's what I was always seeking, searching for the right romantic person, searching for the right clothes, searching for through self-help books for how I could help myself. Well, you know, there's the problem, me. It was me. You know, we all came in here, because we were desperate to find a result. And, you know, I found it. And you can find this promise, too, because if you reach and you are at a hopeless condition, seemingly hopeless and seemingly helpless, you're going to find that relying on my own self, our own self, you know, it doesn't work. But we have the solution through action of these 12 steps. You will find, like I found, a power greater than Janice. Janice had to decrease, and the power I found was called God, and God did the increase. And, you know, my life as a widow, like it was said, I feel like a new woman of integrity. I have a challenging son, but it doesn't matter. I'm not perfect in my personality. Believe you me, I'm not. I get into a rage, not a real rage. I have to stop. And, you know, I have everything I ever needed. No, that I ever wanted, because I know that's what he gave me, because I needed. So, you know, at 82, you know, I have people don't live this long, you know. At least my family never lived this long through our addictions. But there is a solution. Answer. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. Bye.
All right, Janice, thank you.
Is there time for one more? Hana Yitta R.
There's
from
not.
Texas.
There's not. We're at time now. You could jump on the next meeting. You could
I
jump
will.
On the next
Thanks, Russ.
All right. Thank you. You got it. All right. So thank you to everyone who shared. And so join us for a second hour of unrecorded study. So if you want to share on that one. And then today's share ID, Friday, June 14th, 2024, is 21,488. 21488. And now we'll close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And KEG is going to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, Russ. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. KEG recovered in Boston. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand him. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny.